east of 8 Mile to the beginning of Grand River, Detroit, 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 up the streets of their chimneys, 8 Mile to follow the moon of the sun and the wind and the earth and the temple. And it has fire structures and satellite pitches, dodge and lower grass on birds to keep the puncture of her tires, tire and the rim, and the moon and the terror and the ocean, using the fire to keep the force that she will see her face and submit. Like satellites that is all you call and you won't keep playing. So sister, if you call your dad across the place, you must be a part of the taste of the community. And sister, the surprise is that I'll tell you from the west side that you're not going to come out in the middle of the north south east city. And you have to do with the fact that you're not using the planet and 67 planets. It's a matter of
Yeah.
What was your name again?
Franz.
From Minneapolis, got some Minneapolis.
Okay, cool.
I think we'll be in contact in the future.
Okay.
Me and my people were like, we want some new set of stuff. We really want to give you some new set of stuff. So
yeah.
It's really cool to hear you speak about that.
No doubt.
What you mean, so.
No doubt. Yeah, and we got to get some things going in the Midwest, man. There's some good stuff going on. Like,
dude, we got this, man. Bring some
Tokyo was telling me about it. I think the chances I'm gonna be able to make it are about like zero.
Right.
Like my summer is like straight booked.
I can imagine. Right.
But like, give me some flyers and I'll pass them out there. I mean, I don't know how many chances I'm gonna be able to make it, but I'll put some out there.
Right.
And we always playing music from wherever we can get it because everybody's always trying to pass it out. So yeah, we'll be talking about it. Cool. Thank you to all the timely people. We're going to let things filter out a minute and then start up on this next one. So Darren, what's happening, man? Okay.
Good, man. I'm just glad to be here.
Cool.
My guy TJ was the one that was actually got invited.
TJ Crawford?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know TJ?
I know TJ.
Okay. Good?
Yeah. We've been building, like, trying to get some Midwest stuff going on.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's my guy. We just got 8 million things going on. We got a concert going on tonight.
Okay.
Matter of fact, so I was the only one that could leave. Everybody else is over there working.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. No, I am. Yeah, no, TJ was just in Cincinnati recently. He was here, He was there. He was in Cincinnati, like, in April.
That's where you at, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, but, like, yeah, I just, like, here's TJ right here, man. I just wrote this article for this magazine and got a little interview with TJ in here.
Oh, what magazine?
It's Alternet. It's the online magazine.
Okay.
Where's TJ's name at in here? See, hip-hop political convention?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, anyway, I want to see if I can get other people up here.
Good deal. Okay.
So I've got your bio that was in the thing. I'll just read that.
That's cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
Okay. Hey, Toby, are you ready yet? Did you find somebody to pinch your butt? She'll get it. How was that last one, man? This last panel.
What's up? What's good? I got a lot of good information out of it. That's why I'm here. To soak up sponge.
Sponge it up.
Music building up here. That's what I'm talking about. You guys want to get some music?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wrote.
I got some for you.
Cool. Cause I was listening on the web.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to catch some.
Oh, cool.
Vanessa, is your tape in?
My tape is in. It's okay. Just pressed.
So what did we just switch to? We switched to you going first, then
no.
Vanessa. Oh, now y'all moving up to the front like that, huh?
Oh, well, I gotta be like that.
Straight up accountability, like, come up here and slap him right in the middle. All right. How's everybody doing? Okay. I would like to ask everybody to move in, because we do not have that many people, and this is a big room. It already feels weird that we're sitting up here on this stage. So if you can move in, if you're far back, I would appreciate it. We do not bite.
Unless you ask us to.
Unless you ask us to. That's an excellent point. Thank you, thank you. That will also encourage other people to sit in, hopefully. So we're going to get rolling here, and hopefully people will filter in as we get to the bulk of the information. I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Gavin Leonard. If you were here a second ago, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still the same person who was sitting here. I help run a nonprofit hip-hop-based youth art center in Cincinnati called Elements. And I will be moderating the discussion today. So I want to go through and introduce our panelists and then sort of just frame the discussion a little bit. It's pretty clear from what's in the back of the little book. But just to make sure that everybody's clear, we're going to try to keep everything real tight. Everybody's going to talk for about 8 minutes, and then we're going to have lots of time for questions. So on my far right here, I got to look in my information. We've got Darren Osborne, who is apparently good friends with my friend TJ Crawford from the Chicago Hip Hop Pack. In Chicago, so it's good to meet you, Darren. Darren's a representative of the Chicago Local Organizing Committee and Unsigned Cooperative. He's the author of the book The Revolution of the Mentally Dead, which I believe there's copies of right over here, which was put out in 2004, and he's the current editor of the MPR Report. It's a biweekly publication designed to meet the empowerment needs of the hip-hop generation in the areas of business, politics, and culture. So, welcome, Darren.
Thank you.
Also to my right here, we have, tell me if I pronounce the name wrong, but Vanessa Huang, is that right? Okay. And Vanessa is, in my computer, an organizer, writer, and graduate of Art in Action, where youth visionaries create positive alternatives to the madness of war and oppression through hip-hop, dance, street art, and giant puppetry. She's a fellow at Justice Now, where she is launching a media writing project with women in prison to complement their Building a World Without Prisons campaign. The campaign recently released the CD The We That Sets Us Free, which combines music, spoken word, and interviews with activists inside and outside prison to challenge all of us to imagine new ways of living beyond the prison industrial complex. And you cannot read that in the back of your program. So that was like straight up unique right there. That's like out the box. Okay, we're going to move it on over here to my left. We got Toki Wright from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's an artist and community organizer who's been voted Artist of the Year by Star Tribune newspaper. He's one half of the, is it C-O-R-E or do I say CORE?
The CORE is
cool. The CORE, two-time Minnesota Music Award nominee, 2002 Hip Hop Artist of the Year from City Pages, top 10 albums of the year, Star Tribune 2003. He's also one half of
Afril.
Afril. with Nomi of Odd Jobs, releasing the album Home this summer. And he's currently recording a solo album titled A Different Mirror as youth engagement supervisor with Yo, The Movement. That's correct, isn't it? That's the title. He is the main curator of the Twin City Celebration of Hip Hop with Minneapolis-based youth nonprofit Yo, The Movement. Toki has performed with and alongside amazing people like Afrika Bambaataa, LL Cool J, Mos Def, Ludacris, Nelly, Clips, Master Ace, and others. He's been featured in Herb Magazine, WB Television, the score to the independent film Justice, and is coached in an episode of MTV's Made with C-Ray's Walls, The Game, and Snoop Dogg, airing June 29th. And he's going to talk a little bit more about what Yo Movement does also. Yo, The Movement does also. And then on my far left, we got Alana Weaver, a.k.a. Invincible, who's been honing her critically acclaimed flow for years. She's been featured on many projects, including Justice Now's The Weed That Sets Us Free that we just talked about, Building a World Without Prisons, and the Platinum Pied Piper's debut album titled Triple P. She's also a member of the Anomalies crew, an all-female, all-elements hip-hop collective that is a prominent force in New York's hip-hop community. Currently residing in Detroit, Invincible connects art and activism through various community organizing efforts, including Detroit Summer, Loud and Clear Media, and is working on her soon-to-be-released solo project. So I think we got a really cool panel up here today, y'all. I'm really excited about being able to be up here. Like it says in the book here, hip-hop organizing is this really new and hot thing. A lot of people are trying to pimp it. A lot of people are wondering what it is. And so we're going to try to just kind of hash it out a little bit and talk about it. And hopefully we can get some good questions from the audience as well. We're going to get started here. First up, we're going to have Toki talking from Minneapolis.
What up?
What up?
How's everybody doing today? Good. Is Minnesota in the building?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Midwest Coast. My name is Toki Wright. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been doing community work since I was 13 years old, 1993, when I used to walk around my neighborhood with absolutely nothing to do, and I would pick up cans and trash from my block because I didn't know what else to do, and nobody was talking to me. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody necessarily wanted to hang out with me. So I used to go to the park down the street from my house. It's called Farview Park in North Minneapolis. Wasn't the safest place to be hanging out at all night, but I found some good people, some good programs, which led me to other things, which led me to other things, which led me to meet good people like my best friend in the world, Larry Lucio Jr., whose father was my junior high school principal, taught me a lot of things. The work that I do at Yo The Movement, it's a youth-based nonprofit based out of downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota. We work with young folks all throughout the state. There are four main programs. One is called the What's Up Youth Information Line. It's a phone line 612-399-9999. Between 4 and 8 o'clock Monday through Friday and 12 to 5 on Saturday, you can call that number and speak to a youth operator, someone under the age of 19. That will be able to find you information on programs, activities, jobs, homework help. All this information has been mapped out from the community. There's about 750 organizations on the database that if you call and give your zip code, they will find something close to your house. They also put together something called Where My Girls At, which is a young women's empowerment conference happens every year. It's usually about 400 young women that come together, talk about their issues, find places that they can be involved in throughout the rest of the year. The second program is the Juvenile Justice Youth Advisory Council, which the supervisor is Franz Diego de Hinton, repping Guatemala one time. he is the social justice coordinator, and what the JJAC is doing is working with Hennepin County to find ways to keep young folks out of corrections and to find ways for folks that are already in corrections to avoid going back. So there are four quarterly meetings where we get a group, half of the youth are in corrections, half aren't. They get together, they talk about what's going to work, what isn't going to work. They get a stipend, and this is going to be our first year doing that, so we'll see what happens with that. Another program is the NYC Metro Youth Council. Right now, we do a mock election every time election year comes around. In the high schools, and this year we're also working on doing a youth manifesto. What what are the demands of the youth of this nation, and we hope to work with folks like Detroit Summer and folks like folks all over the country and in some other places to come up with their concerns from their communities, write it all down on paper, do a national release, and really like shake up things. The last project is called the Eyes Project. The last program is called the Eyes Project. It's just headed up by Claire Redman. One time. The Eyes Project puts on monthly events in the city of Minneapolis, hip-hop, spoken word, battle of bands, art gallery showings. Every year we put on something called the Twin City Celebration of Hip-Hop. It's one of the only events like it. Me and Larry came up with this idea a long time ago. How do we do a community festival around hip-hop that is put on by young folks, for young folks, and actually tackles and deals with some real issues, and how do we bring in folks that are all doing the same level of work in other cities. We've grown from the first year of having 800 people, the second year to having 2,500 people, to the last year of having about 4,000 people, and we hope to keep growing. There are workshops, MC battles, beatbox battles, production battles, DJ battle, graffiti, dance battles. We try to find ways to make this bridge because some people don't understand, and I don't know how much time I've left.
Three and a half minutes.
Some people don't understand that how segmented hip hop is. Sometimes you only see McDonald's hip hop, and McDonald's hip hop is what you see on the commercial, where it's like, I got a beat, and I'm rapping to it, and it's good, so buy it. And there's so many different. There's so many different forms of it. There's like, I'm an ultra backpacker, so I only hang out with my ultra backpack friends. And I have my McDonald's rapper. I only rap because rap is rap. And then I'm only rapping about some hardcore stuff because that's what other hardcore people talk about. And then you have like, I need to get paid. So we try to deal with everybody and realize that everybody on that spectrum is valid. They all have a valid argument for why they say what they say, and we try to bring them all together to have a discussion. I'm not the expert on anything, neither is anybody in this room on anything, but we try to get everybody's opinion on the table and work on whatever we need to work on. So we have 2 minutes left. In that 2 minutes, I will promote myself and my album. No, I'm just playing. Other things that are going on, the monthly shows, the website, yieldthemovement.org, really trying to focus on connecting communities throughout the country. And the easiest way I can see that and the best way I can think of that is hip-hop. Young folks are dealing with hip-hop, are living hip-hop throughout the world, and without hip-hop, any type of strategy you have in the youth market probably is not going to work that well, depending on where you live. If you're not authentic about it and you're not coming from a humble place, trying to understand why people are saying what they're saying, then it's probably not going to work. If you try to come in and put a mic in front of somebody and expect that they're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear, some heartfelt story, might not always happen. You might just hear, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And you're going to have to figure out why they're telling you, fuck you. So, blah, blah, blah.
Next up, we've got Vanessa Huang.
Okay. Hello. So I'm here. Is this working?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm here to talk about two projects that I've been involved with. A disclaimer, I don't MC or DJ or tag or break, but I love it. and so I guess my path has crossed with it. So right now I'm working with a group called Justice Now out of Oakland, California, and we're a prison abolitionist organization. Mostly focused on women in prison, but we're starting to host a transgender, gender variant, and intersex justice project as well, and integrating that gender oppression analysis into our work. And so our main goal is building a world without prisons, and one of the ways that we've tried to do that is by pulling together political prisoners, former political prisoners, people who are currently imprisoned, and organizers on the inside, with artists and organizers on the outside as well. And through that process, it's We've challenged ourselves to imagine what it would take to build that world that we want to see, and how to challenge all those systems of oppression that are the foundation for the prison industrial complex. And like a lot of this is to bring it to kind of what we were asked to talk about is, you know, one of the things was how and why is community organizing through hip-hop effective? One of the ways that I've seen both through this project and the other project that I'm here to talk about is that a lot of these things can, or for me, I'm also a student, it can be very academic at times, and using hip-hop, music, cultural work in general really helps people connect to what you're talking about if they haven't directly lived that. And even if they have, that's, I mean, just even people, for instance, on the CD, we have not only hip-hop and music, but interview segments with people on the inside. And when people on the outside are listening to it, they can connect with, you know, the need to provide for your family, for your kids, whatever. Yeah, so that's one thing that we found really effective. The other project that I'm talking about is Art in Action, which is a collective out of California, mostly young people of color, working class, and queer folks. You mentioned a little bit about what we do, but you know, just even getting media attention, both independent media and mainstream corporate media, like the giant puppets, really help. You know, when you're doing street movement, that really helps, and it really brings a life. I was listening in on a panel earlier today where they kind of spoke to this as well, but just, you know, revitalizing our protest and also just the everyday community building that music and art and cultural work do is just so important to sustaining our movements. So that's something else that's effective. Yeah, and as well, my sister works with this youth organizing project in Oakland called Let's Get Free, which is kind of connected with the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, and they organized to close down the youth prisons throughout California. And from the beginning, their work has been intimately tied with hip-hop. We were just at an event in L.A. where, you know, part of the work is, you know, bringing people in through having parties and through, you know, the weekend events and block parties and things like that.
About 3 minutes.
Okay. And something really unique about hip-hop, I think, is just that it's a particular form of creative expression that's intimately tied in with the history of policing and criminalization of poor and working-class communities, communities of color in this country. So I'm going to play a segment from showing what the Art in Action Collective has done right now as just one instance of how young people of color and working class folks are using hip-hop and more generally cultural work. It's the VHS. Oh, there we go. Oh, I think we have to fast forward a little bit, sorry. It's taped over, sorry. There we go.
Turn it up.
You know Alma?
find their own solutions to these big problems. It also allows them to feel that they have a role in creating those solutions.
Thank you.
So that's just one instance of how people have come together and really built relationships through that process. I don't want to take up too much airspace, so why don't we just move on? I mean, cool. And another instance of doing that is through this CD.
Will you explain the CD?
I spoke on it a little bit, but Invincible, Alana Weaver, is on the CD, and you'll get to hear her perform tonight, right?
Yeah.
At the after party?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's amazing on it. Everybody is amazing on it. As I said, we get letters in the office. Alana went on tour to Europe. Were you in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she got on BBC Radio, and we got letters in asking for the CD. And so we sent one to this guy in Ireland, and he wrote back saying, you know, how awesome it was. And we get letters about how people are using it in various organizing projects, educational projects. And it's just, you don't know what's going to happen when... I guess the positive thing is that it can reach a lot of people. The maybe negative or not so... The mixed thing is if, you know, because I think hip-hop can be so powerful when it's really rooted in movements for social justice, but you never know what's going to happen when it sits out there.
Thank you. So going along those lines of the Justice Now CD, which is a project I had the honor of being a part of, and I hope some people here get a chance to pick that up and take it home with you. I'm going to give y'all a little sample of one of the pieces, the piece that I'm on the CD, because that'll explain it better than me rambling a bunch. Right, you got it. Number six. Give it up for the technical help right there. Street level youth in the house. Number six. All right. So I'm going to just do a couple verses from it. You can turn it up without feedback. Let's see what we can do. All right. Freedom is breathing the fresh air and the feeling of rain on her face. Since she came in this place, getting shamed and disgraced. The plaintiff's estate, make sure she caught the blame in the case. Another number without a name or a face. 2 million filling our prisons, now they claim that we're safe. Prison bars start looking like barcodes. Freedom of soul, case closed by an arm in a dark robe. Banging the gavel to send you traveling carloads. Gravel on stock roads like cargo to a place where the heart grows cold. You hear another prison door slam shut by hard-nosed politicians making commission off of starved souls in prison, monopolize the cash flow. Go directly to jail and do not pass. Go more bound to get locked down than a gown, cap, and tassel. Profile the suspect, get handcuffed and shackled. The most attacked and hassled by the cops in the hood. Throw you on the top of the hood, then in the back with a lasso. The assholes gotta fill their quota of stock goods. I might get the axe like chopped wood. It's not looking good when the 5-0s, the P-0s, the C-0s, the D-A's living large with the CEOs, they business partners. Put your hands up, put us in handcuffs. We get locked. You hear another prison door slam shut. The door to opportunity closes. As it grows, the net profit it grosses. So just put your hands up, put us in handcuffs. We get locked. You hear another prison door slam shut. The door to opportunity closes. Alright. He used to be the mercilessly, but they wasn't coming around when you called the emergency. They said the state couldn't intercede until the trigger squeezed and they charged her in the first degree. Another door to opportunity closes. She discloses that she had a felony charge on the application for a job. Instant termination. What you gonna do to survive? There's no public assistance when you got a drug conviction. Listen, you hear another prison door slam shut. Mandatory minimums. Can't ignore these are women living in unsanitary conditions with strip searches. But mail guards and cell blocks don't be shut. Shot when I spit verses, though the opportunity closes. When mothers lose custody and nurses are free in the so-called home of the brave, where we get enslaved if we don't behave. So that's just a little taste. Turn it up. See, it's hard to switch modes, but all the time. I mean, the main thing, I guess, you know, I'm coming from a place of. I moved to the States from occupied Palestine. My passport is dual with Israel. And when I moved here, I didn't speak a lick of English. And for me, coming up in, you know, just with a passion for music, And growing up in Ann Arbor, which is where I moved to the States originally in the late 80s, I was, you know, introduced to hip-hop immediately and attached to it through many different angles. I mean, can you really miss it unless you're deaf? Or even if you're deaf, can you avoid being just totally, you know, surrounded by it? So for me, you know, listening to hip-hop, being passionate about what I was hearing, that helped me, you know, learn English. I think, you know, transcribing the lyrics and putting my own lyrics into that and just, you know, taking a part in the culture throughout my life. And for me, in a lot of ways, you know, it personally helped me get through a lot of things that I've been through, a lot of struggles that I've experienced. And, you know, getting more serious about the music in high school was around the time I also became involved in doing organizing work and on many different levels. And basically, at one point or another, they became so inseparable from each other that, you know, it wasn't just me getting up there and doing a rhyme about a certain subject. I could spit a rhyme about, you know, just how dope I am if I wanted, but, and I'll do that sometimes because that's the love of the art and honing your craft. But to me, it's like, just like what Vanessa mentioned, hip-hop comes out of that strong history of what was happening in the Bronx at that particular moment in time, and the resourcefulness and making something out of nothing that happened for hip-hop to be created as a culture. A lot of you know, this term hip-hop community is thrown around, and, you know, hip-hop culture and whatnot. And to me, you know, that's kind of like non-existent, except for in the instances and spaces that we're, you know, living it and creating it and using hip-hop as something to basically emphasize all the other work that's changing a material condition, but using music and hip-hop and art and all its forms to get certain messages across, get certain topics across, as well as, you know, bring people together who normally wouldn't connect. And so one of the first ways I got involved in organizing through hip-hop was throwing benefit shows. I was living in New York as part of the Anomalies, the all-women hip-hop crew, and we performed. I mean, as long as I've performed, I've always done benefit shows, performed at them, and I've performed at some of the worst benefit shows ever. You know what I'm saying? Be like two people there. I know we've all been to the worst benefit shows ever, so y'all can relate. And so for me, I was like, well, I could probably throw a better one than that fool right there. So let me, you know, do it for what I'm passionate about, what community work I want to get involved with, but how can I do it through music, which is my other passion. So when I was living in New York, through a benefit show for an organization in Detroit, and for me, you know, to constantly use hip-hop as that bridge to bring people together wherever I was and to bring them back to Detroit, which is the community I'm at now and living in currently and, you know, find myself married to in a lot of ways. So that was the first experience I had, was throwing that show, seeing how many people came out, you know, and how you can intersperse a message of, you know, what the community organization. At the time, it was a refugee shelter in Detroit called Freedom House, doing a reunification project between a family in the Congo that were living in a refugee camp in Kenya, and then bringing the whole family back to Detroit because only one member had made it over, which is usually the case. So building that international connection back to Detroit, where the family is currently living. And, you know, we raised a lot of money that night, helped bring, you know, some of the family members out. But to me, that wasn't enough because it was just, you know, a situation where we were just from a distance fundraising, and that's cool. And that's always needed. If anyone wants to throw a fundraiser for any of the organizing projects that we've heard about, you know, that would be wonderful. But for me, I wanted to be more hands-on and to fully understand the work that was being done and to, you know, have more of a personal stake in it. So I went ahead and moved back to Detroit and got involved directly teaching through hip-hop. One of the ways is through an organization in Detroit called Matrix Theater Company, based in Southwest Detroit, which is where I live. And it's called Teatro de la Vida, and it's basically a traveling theater company. We go around to different community centers and schools, and you know, ask the group that we're working with what issues concern them and what they would like to basically produce a play around. And we did a hip-hop play with fifth graders. So we would go in and freestyle with the fifth graders, teach them, you know, playwriting skills as well as research skills to research, you know, the issues that they found important. And those issues, you know, ended up being homelessness, pollution, which that neighborhood in Detroit has some of the highest air pollution in the country. It's right next to the bridge to Canada, so over 10,000 trucks come through it on a regular basis. We're right downwind from, you know, many of the car industry factories that, you know, have smokestacks and flames coming off of them, and one of the highest asthma rates in the country as well. And then the third issue was the war, which had just began at the time. And so that was a powerful experience, doing that play, producing that play with them, and helping use hip-hop and giving them that tool, or helping nurture that tool, because many of them were already passionate about hip-hop as a voice to use to voice, you know, how they felt about these issues in their community. The play was ultimately censored because the school had a problem with them addressing the school, the war inside the school, and gave us a book like this thick with the rules of what we can and couldn't say regarding the war in public schools. But, you know, regardless, it was a really powerful experience for everyone involved. Also, through Detroit Summer, that, you know, maybe some of you were in the past panel and heard some of the amazing work Detroit Summer is doing, and one of the things I'm most involved in is the Poetry for Social Change program, and as well as like the development of the Media Center, which a lot of is about, you know, not only throwing events on a consistent basis, but using those events to bring people together and incorporate as many people as possible into the work. And you just meet so many people through your common, you know, interest might be music or whatever skills people have to bring to the table. And it's just been, you know, an endless network of people that we've decided to build a whole artist activist community network in Detroit that we're starting to keep track of and build, you know, skill banks of, so we can call upon each other and really keep that as like a constant tool that we call upon to keep everyone involved. And the last way I found, you know, hip-hop to be useful besides throwing events and, you know, people interacting that way is basically just through the Women in Hip-Hop movement that I find myself in, whether it's with the Anomalies crew or, you know, with other women that I meet that rhyme. We'll go around to, you know, like homeless shelters for women or, you know, different community centers and schools and just interact with young women that, you know, have certain perceptions of themselves or have certain perceptions of women in hip-hop, and then come in and instead of just critiquing what's out there and what the common media representation is of women in hip-hop, present another angle of that and present a balance to what those representations are. And that's been, you know, another huge passion of mine is, you know, working with not only with young women but with all genders in hip-hop to basically, you know, bring some gender justice into the conversation, not only by dissing what's out there, but by presenting the answer. The ultimate critique is the solution. And I see, you know, hip-hop is a powerful tool, not only here, but internationally, and, you know, as a bridge for many people across many different backgrounds, as we all know. And on that note, I'll wrap up.
Go ahead, man.
I got to follow Invincible now, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Let's give it up one more time for Invincible, because that's really what it's all about. I'd like to thank all of you and thank the Allied Media Conference for allowing me this opportunity to talk to you today about community organizing through hip-hop. This thing's straightened up on me. There we go. Yeah, this will work. Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a short time, so what I'm going to do first is talk to you a little bit about the hip-hop convention and what we're doing in Chicago. The National Hip-Hop Convention was formed in 2003 by a group of activists, artists, educators, journalists, and civic leaders from the hip-hop generation. The convention is a biannual event that brings together delegates from all over the country to develop, endorse, and vote on a political agenda for the hip-hop generation. It also acts as a training ground to identify and support local, state, and national leadership to implement that agenda. In June 2004, the first convention took place in Newark, New Jersey, bringing together 6,000 people and 600 delegates from 20 states. It was very successful. And now in May of 2006, the convention will be coming to Chicago. And we on the Chicago Local Organizing Committee are putting that program together right now. So I'm letting you all know. Everybody's invited. I hope you all are able to come out. We're locking in the dates right now. You can check out our website at hiphopconvention.org, which we'll be relaunching hopefully by the end of this month. And you'll be able to get all the current information and find out what's happening with that. But look out for that next summer, 2006. The convention will be in Chicago. Leading up to the convention, we have a lot of things that we're doing right now that are designed to empower the community, reach the youth, and build support for our organizing efforts. First, we started our own publication called the NPR Report, which is a biweekly newspaper that will be out. The first issue will be out next week. NPR stands for Money, Power, and Respect. The money section deals with economics. Power is politics, and respect deals with cultural issues. We also have what's called the IOC campaign, which is Invest in Our Communities, Invest in Our Children, which uses hip-hop to develop skills in youth ages 13 to 18. We do voter registration drive and a number of other projects, which I won't get into right now because we're short on time. But a lot of these things are all going towards the same thing, which is problem solving, which is what this is all really, really all about. Let me talk for a few minutes about the effectiveness of hip-hop as an organizing tool. A lot of people don't think that hip-hop and politics mix. And if your only exposure to hip-hop is through the mindless videos that we're exposed to every day, then I can understand why people would feel that way. But there are really five elements to hip-hop. There's emceeing, there's DJing, there's breakdancing, there's graffiti, and there's knowledge. And it's that fifth element of knowledge that makes hip-hop a viable political force. Hip-hop is the grassroots and has been a voice for the grassroots for the last four decades. At its core, hip-hop is a rejection of the mainstream and is one of the few ways that the dispossessed can even be heard. Not just here in America, but even all over the world. Everywhere that you look today, young people are telling their stories through hip-hop. In China, in Japan, all over Africa, South America, in the Middle East, the Gaza Strip, hip-hop lives. It's the greatest cultural force in the world today, and it has the potential to unify people in the way that also make it the greatest political force in the world, which is what makes it so dangerous to the establishment, and which is why the record industry has steered hip-hop away from Public Enemy and Poor Righteous Teachers and those groups that drop real knowledge. And instead, they give us 50 Cent and Lil Jon and all those other people who like to make you dance but not make you think. Young people of all walks of life identify with hip-hop. It transcends race, class, gender, language, and nationality. Hip-hop heads are everywhere. And if you want to reach the masses, hip-hop is the way to do it. When it comes to politics, Americans are generally apathetic. Out of a potential 200 million voters, only 123 million were even registered in 2000. For young people ages 18 to 44, which is the hip-hop generation, the numbers are even worse. Out of 108 million eligible voters, only half are registered to vote. And in 2000, only 32 million of that 108 million even cast ballots, meaning that 76 million people in that age bracket alone stayed home. Al Gore won the popular vote with 50 million votes that year, which means that the 18 to 44 demographic already has the ability to pick the president. That's real power if it's organized, and we can do that through hip-hop. Of the 108 million in the 18 to 44 age group, 76 million are white, 14 million are black, 14 million are Hispanic, and 4 million are other people of color. Hip-hop has the power to do what not even economic self-interest has been able to do, and that's establish an alliance between lower and middle class whites and people of color. If this ever happens in American politics, the elites who control this system through the politics of division are going to lose a lot of power and a lot of money. And again, this is why hip-hop has been under siege since its inception. So having said all that, hip-hop can only reach its political potential if it's representing good messages, good programs, and good ideas. Hip-hop can get people excited and energized, but if there's no substance behind what it represents, it's not going to work. So what I'm saying is that hip-hop needs a political agenda. Just like the grassroots, all of us that are here today, we need a comprehensive agenda because our leadership is failing. We are witnessing the total dismantling of what is left of America on a daily basis. The corporate state is in effect. And by definition, that's what fascism is. Both political parties have sold us out. So we, the grassroots, have no choice but to organize for our own survival. The elites have the money, but we have the numbers, and we have the soldiers. And in the right frame of mind, we can do anything. So let's do it. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank the Allied Media Conference again for the opportunity. Peace to everybody and one love.
Okay, so my goal was to do this, and we did really good. Now, we were told that we had a lot of people with a lot of good questions, so we've left a big chunk of time for questions. So now, y'all get to participate. Adrian, did you have a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, let me start off with that, since you mentioned the convention to begin with. And I agree with you. I think what you're saying is true, because when, at some point we are going to kind of run into a brick wall when we're organizing and getting everything together, and then you take that agenda somewhere, what are you going to do with the agenda? If you don't have anybody that's already there who's going to be able to support you, what are you going to do? So ultimately, I think what we're doing now with the hip-hop convention is good and it's progressive. But eventually, the next step that we're going to have to take is to in order to really be viable, is to make that agenda that we create a platform for a new political party, because these two parties aren't going to work. So if we can do that and put pressure on the system that way, we have enough numbers. As I was just kind of trying to relate to you there, there's a lot of apathetic people out here, but that's because the system is broke. If we give them something that is actually going to work for them, that they can be a part of, I think they'll participate. So there's a lot of potential there of people that don't do anything now who are potential allies and can actually make a party viable. And I think down the road, that's probably where we're going to be headed to. At least I would hope so.
Might I say? I'm just playing. Might I say that I always see that we sort of we see rap as hip-hop. And rap is based on the individual. It's really based on individual, me and my relationship with you, me and how what I'm going to do, say about myself, and how what I say about myself relates to you. And we tend to carry that attitude. That's what's sold on TV. That's what's sold in stores. And oftentimes, people come with their own agenda and not the entire community in mind. And not a lot of times people come with their own agenda, not with the entire community in mind. So we need to do some real a real shift in just some basic morality, in having a better understanding of this is what I need to do for my community first, and then come to the table. Don't come to the table in the name of hip hop if you're just an individual just dealing with yourself.
I'm just going to throw one thing in. I think as this concept of hip-hop organizing and hip-hop organizers comes more of age and we build more skill sets, then the concept of not only identifying a problem but then being able to do issue-based organizing around that problem is going to grow too, or it better, or else there won't be any reason for it. Back here.
For myself, I would talk about...
Who do or who don't
identify. Go ahead.
No, I was just wanting to hear your question. Did you say who do or don't identify with the hip hop option? Who do?
Yeah, maybe... Can somebody just pass that mic? Because that was a hard one to repeat. It's a long one. Thank you.
So my question was, how do you see your organizations or the hip hop organizing movement as advocating for or providing space for queer people who identify with the hip hop generation?
I'd love to hear what everyone has to say about it. For myself, I'm all about, like I was mentioning with my crew Anomalies, like, we're all about not only critiquing the sexism, misogyny, which, you know, exists in society and hip-hop becomes a microcosm of, or, again, the homophobia, which the same thing happens with and becomes intensified sometimes in hip-hop, being that a lot of times it comes out of oppressed communities. So what I tend to focus on is not only that, which is important to look at, but the amazing amount of queer hip-hop artists that are coming up right now. There's a huge queer hip-hop scene. There's both in the Oakland area and in New York, an annual queer hip-hop festival that's happening. Whether we like to think about it or not, there's plenty of artists that we all love and know and grew up listening to that are queers, that are, you know, gay, lesbian, trans, dykes, bags, whatever you want to call them, and whatever they want to call themselves, really, more than what you want to call them. And at the end of the day, I would say, kind of like how I look at, you know, the women in hip-hop movement is, you know, in a sense, it's like people are going to come to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, the more women in hip-hop are doing our thing, the more queers in hip-hop are doing our thing, the more everybody else is going to, at the end of the day, be like, y'all got skills. And even if they don't necessarily understand, you know, or want to understand the differences that are there, the skills themselves aren't going to make that go away. But that's how you get your voice and respect out there, and that's how you build your support network of folks that, you know, do understand. And then also on the ground level, like I was saying, going around and speaking with youth and representing something other than what is normally represented in the media with hip-hop, I think that automatically, you know, kind of shifts people's perspective, and they go, oh yeah, my uncle's gay, so maybe maybe it's not cool that, you know, Eminem says faggot every other line or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like in real life, we all know people who are real people, and then in the media, obviously, it's like little cookie cutter cutouts. So immediately when hip-hop, like again, to me, hip-hop only exists in real life in those spaces. So when we bring it back to that, that's where that space is. But I'd love to hear what other people have to say.
I don't like to talk too much when I don't know what I'm talking about. So right now I'm listening and taking notes and trying to understand what I can do.
I'll just add real quick, in Cincinnati with the Hip Hop Youth Arts Center that we're working with, it's a struggle to be able to communicate. And we're really big on working with people where they're at. And homophobia is a real big problem in our community, and it's something that is a real big problem within our board members. Like, it's something that I'll just say for us, it's something that it's on the radar, but it's just, to be honest, it's a struggle.
Well, I'm coming from Justice Now, which is actually a nonprofit group. We're not like a hip-hop crew, but these issues are intimately connected. Queer and trans and gender variant youth of color are more than ever funneled into the prison industrial complex, and that's something that people don't understand, is, you know, everything that leads up to that mass imprisonment. And so if, like, just even just listening to this CD, not only the artists but most of the people who we interviewed inside are queer and openly queer or trans. And that's just an indication of all the interconnectedness of all these systems that are at work.
And I'll just add real quickly, I'll acknowledge the fact there are a lot of anti-gay attitudes in the black community, but as far as the organization that I'm involved with, I haven't seen that, and we haven't even really got into that because, once again, that's just another area of division. We're talking about, you know, building politically, so if we have the same ideas and interests, that's what really counts. Sexual orientation is so far down the list. I mean, I really haven't even been in any conversations with the people that I work with about that, but I know that it is a problem in our community, and hopefully we'll get past that because there's bigger issues out there than that.
Okay. All right, let's go. One, then two, then three, then four. Okay. And let's panelists and questioners try to keep answers and questions short so we can get to everybody.
I have to go. So
okay.
I'm real short.
Cool.
Two really quick things. I wanted to say thank you to all of you guys for coming and sharing and getting involved in a situation like this. Listening to what people have to say, it always gives me the whole goosebump, tingly, hair raising thing. Most specifically, you in this room.
Okay.
Is that the name?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. I've been locked up. You know what I'm saying? And I came home to a whole different world. And one of the things that was said in the movie that you played that like I really picked up on was the fact that you have to create for the youth the mindset that they have their own world, that they can develop their own future. You know, it's a difficult thing. I was raised well. It was never expected when it happened. When I came home, getting a job, all that other good stuff was a bitch. It was really hard. And one thing that I really garnered from my experience was basically just that I needed to be self-sufficient. And I think that is something that's really important to instill in you. If you teach them how to develop their own businesses, how to create their own worlds, then they don't have to worry about the mistakes they made being held against them for the rest of their lives. So, thank you guys for doing that. One thing that, by the way, I'm natural, hailing from Toledo, Ohio. I noticed that you mentioned the five elements of hip hop and you did not mention spoken word. And I'm curious where that fits in to your hip hop agenda. Because I am a spoken word artist, I'm not an MC, I'm not a lyricist. I am a cunning linguist. But I'm curious to know where you think that spoken word fits in.
Well, I think spoken word fits in as far as the, you know, it's the same concept as the MC, even though you're not MCing per se, that's what you're doing. You're verbalizing. And also very much in the knowledge area because what the spoken word artists often do is enlighten us about things. And probably more so today than the actual hip-hop artists, the spoken word artists are talking about things we need to be listening to and need to be thinking about. So I don't know why you feel like you don't fit in there, but I feel like you do, and I think everybody else I know that's into hip-hop does too. So if I made you feel like you weren't included in that, I certainly didn't mean to. I consider spoken word to be very integral part of that and intertwined with that. With the whole five elements.
Thank you. Okay. Last quick thing, if any of you guys get an opportunity to swing in there by my table, I'm at Dumb Music, and I relish in the opportunity to speak to anyone of you further.
Thank you so much for your comment.
Right.
Can I say something real quick before you bounce? So you talked about self-sustainability and being able to support ourselves, and we've had a lot of conversations about funding and a lot of conversations about, you know, we haven't said hip-hop necessarily as entrepreneurship, but we said hip-hop is power, and, you know, part of that is not only votes, but money. And I think the larger conversation of that that's gotten thrown around is how to kind of reframe all of that all together. And I don't know if we really have a lot of time, but if in a nutshell, maybe you speaking for Justice Now's behalf, Justice Now comes from, you know, a prison abolition background of saying, you know, how do we basically build a world without prisons. And so part of that is not only looking for personal, individual, you know, economic sustainability, but community economic sustainability. I don't know if you could speak to that real quick.
I mean, I think earlier panels have introduced a bit of a critique of the nonprofit industrial complex. I don't know if everyone here is familiar with that idea or concept, but basically looking at the ways that relying solely or primarily on foundation support can be very detrimental to our movements, not only for, you know, just the skills that are required and the burnout that happens. I mean, that money could dry up, and it does, or, you know, just political integrity, period. And so part of that, I mean, lots of our projects here today are kind of trying to, you know, divest from that, and are, you know, we're trying to find ways of creatively doing grassroots organizing outside of applying for grants.
Okay.
Cool.
Is that?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious about the gender issue, just real quick. What do you do to bust out that framework? Because that's all that the media is with hip hop. You know, how do you challenge that? How do you challenge misogyny?
I go to my little brother. I go to my little brother in the community. I go to whoever I know that's rapping. I go and I say, you know. You got to question individuals, you know. I might not be able to reach 50 Cent. You know what I mean? I might not buy his record. I can get one for free from Larry. But I'm not going to support something that I don't respect. But it's hard to avoid it, you know. I can't avoid it. I definitely choose not to use language. You know what I mean?
Do y'all
want to
say anything about it?
I think we just drown it out. I mean, there's a lot of voices out there, and hip-hop can be anything that, you know, the artist wants it to be or the record exec wants it to be. So you have all these different messages that, you know, can be anything. So when we get saturated with that, and that's what's hot and that's what's on TV and all that, but there's a whole... another thing happening. It's a whole movement that, you know, is still going on that, you know, we haven't been really hearing. It went underground, but that's still there. And if we can get that back to actually come back and make a stand, then we'd just shame these artists into making good music. And if they can't do it, then they get out the business.
I'll just say, yeah, quickly, the one thing we're doing specifically at our center is, because we've got a fairly male-dominated studio space, we've definitely got some women in there, but it's been a little bit difficult, and we've just straight up like started having conversations with, like, you hear the word bitch enough times in a song, and not only does it get old, but it's wrong. So you start then asking people, and we've got a lot of really strong women. In fact, we have like more women that come to our center than men, and we bring them in and like start facilitating dialogue, which is what's really great about having a space. So that's a real specific thing we could do. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Can you pass the mic back to her? Oh, go ahead.
You were responding to someone in the audience. You said that sexual education is so far down the list, it's another division. My comment is that I disagree with that, because as like a Nigerian night poet, et cetera, I come to that argument so much, is that people don't want to talk about, they want to talk about race, maybe gender, specifically in like the hip hop black community or community organizing, but when you talk about like gender variance, like how you appear, whether you're a girl that looks like, what a boy would look like, or being a dyke, or those issues, or queer parents, those issues are always like, okay, that's like not number 7 on the list, we're not going to deal with that until later, if at all. And I think that's part of the really big problem in organizing with people of color, or black people, or whoever, is that there is this hierarchy of what's important, and that we think that it's dividing us to talk about something like sexual orientation, as opposed to something that we can become even stronger, because there are queer people in hip-hop, whether or not it's acknowledged or not. Like, I don't believe in the term queer hip-hop, it's just hip-hop, and there are people who are doing it, and I think that it's really important for us, if we're going to be unified, to address all of the people that are within the movement, because if we don't address it now, it's just going to fuck with us later on, when we're trying to tear down. We haven't dealt with our own issues, our own homophobia, our own anti-racism, like in 15 years or 5 years, we have that movement, or we have that party. I feel like it's going to tear us apart. We're not going to do anything if we aren't honest about our constituency and the issues that are important to the entirety of the constituency, as opposed to what we want to see or have been trained to see or what.
Thank you.
Right. And if I could just respond real quickly, I wasn't trying to trivialize that issue. What I was really trying to get at was the fact that to me it's a non-issue when you're talking about building politics and finding common interest to solve problems. So whereas if you have some gay people here and some straight people here, they can talk about politics and have common ground and do what they have to do without even talking about either one of their sexual orientations. Their sex life in general, period, doesn't necessarily have to come up. If it does, I mean, that's fine, because to me, I really don't care. So when I look at that issue, obviously, and it may be different for you, but I just don't see that. I want to do things. I want to find common ground and common interest. But if we're going to make that one of our top things to talk about, we're going to be sitting in the room fighting all day long. And we've already seen how that works. So to me, if we can get past that even being an issue and just be people, then I think we'll be pretty far ahead in the game.
You have something to talk? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not trying to cut on you. I don't think it's that easy, though. I do know this, that there needs to be more of a willingness to listen. I know I don't have the answer to all of the questions, and I do not know how to deal with everything, but I'm willing to figure out what the hell I need to do. So that's the first thing. We need to be able to, if this is an issue, we need to put all these things on the table and actually deal with them. You know what I mean?
Cool.
I think Vanessa wanted to say.
Vanessa?
I don't agree. We have a lot of common, everyone has common ground, but for, you know, some of us, that common ground, you know, you can't separate the various ways that you experience life. I guess just to put it into the context of my work, building a world without prisons is not just about building a world without racism. It is about building a world without racism, that doesn't operate under a gender binary system, that doesn't, you know, that isn't, you know, the prison industrial complex is premised on misogyny and heterosexism. And so just to give an example from my work, it doesn't make sense to me to not acknowledge all of those things, but that it is very much about all of those things.
We got a comment up here, and then I want to try to ask you to keep it short, and then we have other questions, so.
Let's do that.
Everybody say them at once.
Where's the mic at?
Go ahead, man. Speak up.
My only comment was just that, I mean, it was interesting insofar as a very similar question dealing with how GLBT queer issues are or are not a stumbling block, and where they are on our priority list was brought up earlier in a panel that had to do with messaging. I mean, it roughly had to do with how we sort of reach out to the red states. I mean, basically, without stereotyping too much. I mean, that was kind of a, you know. So I think it's not. I wouldn't want to say that this issue, which I think everyone here is struggling with, is certainly not confined to the communities that you all are dealing with. Obviously, I mean, this is a problem everywhere. And I think that we should be aware that this is an issue that is currently being debated a lot on the left. I don't know the answer to it, but we need to keep having that conversation.
Mm-hmm. I know you've had a question since the beginning. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is a little off the topic of the sexual orientation and
I'm going to make note of the questions that people ask, and then if we can take a few others, and then we'll have everybody kind of go through and make some last comments.
I had a comment on what we were just talking about, and I had to mention a little bit. But you said one of the key elements of hip-hop is knowledge, and knowledge is known for the edge. That's what it breaks down to. You got to know what's coming afterwards, and you got to know what's coming before. All right? When you have incidences where people are killed over their sexual orientation or how they choose to dress, and this is in the hip-hop community. This is in Detroit. This is all over. When they are killed because of it, and it is justified, for some reason, I don't know, whatever justification you have, is wrong. And sexism, period. When you, I can go down the street. And I have motherfuckers coming up here peeping at me, telling me, you know, hey, baby, all this stuff. And, like, to answer what you were talking about, how to address it is education, period. I turned right around. This little kid, and he was in the car with his friend, his mom's car probably, driving down trying to act like hot shit. I turned around to him, and I was like, listen, baby, I already got a man. I don't need to talk to you if I don't want to. Because he started calling me bitch, fuck you, all this, because I ignored him. And I broke it down for him. I was like, don't ever disrespect me just because I'm a woman and you got it, you know? I keep it, not already. Anyway, there's ways you got to take care of things, and it's through education, and it's through knowledge, and it's through showing people and having that talk. Now, there's other, I mean, I don't think, like, sometimes you got to check yourself on how you deal with things. Like, I can do it, sometimes I do it in a very kind of aggressive anger. Out of anger, you know, where, and if we give the situation, it wouldn't be like that with you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You were talking about the unifying qualities of hip hop and the transcending qualities as well, yet you seem to discount the value of like 50 and Lil Jon. And I was just curious where, what place you have with them. The hip hop, I always considered. But I always look at the way that we're pitted against the commercialization of it as a divided counter attack. Because I shared that opinion. But I started,
sorry, I agree. Yeah.
I started questioning myself.
Preach on.
But, yeah.
Okay.
What do we do with it?
So we have only a couple minutes left, and these two questions go together pretty well. So, and there are people clapping, and I would agree with this division, but I think that's not something that everybody's clear about. So can we just make sort of go down the line here and make some final comments addressing that, and then obviously some other really important issues if you have other comments, but try to
Wait, keep in mind we have a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, we're supposed to be done at 5:30.
Okay. I'll try to squeeze everything I need to say into the reply for this. It all goes together. All right. The way hip-hop has been commercialized has been marketed in different categories, like there's conscious and street. The most beautiful interview ever was when 50 Cent was the guest editor at XXL. He chose to interview Talib Kweli. And why did they spend half the interview discussing their shared passion for Nina Simone and mourning her passing away? And why did they both discuss how they enjoyed listening to each other's music, only their fan bases were told by somebody in their record label not to listen to each other's music because one was conscious and one was gangsta, or whatever, however they spell it when they trying to, you know, put that in the music section of the store. Gangster, gangsta, I don't know how they spell it these days. With apostrophe afterwards,
with
I don't
A.
care.
With
so A. at the end of the day, to me, I absolutely agree. It's a divide and conquer strategy. I feel, and we were just talking earlier, some artists who market themselves as conscious at the end of the day don't necessarily, you know, consistently follow through with that. And at the same time, there's an artist on the east side of Detroit called the East Side Cheddar Boys who are always caught up in some drama. There were some murders of the group murdered last year. Yet they throw many community events and support local organizations on a consistent basis and are well known in, you know, their hood or whatever for being actively working with the youth there. And the same thing with, you know, a lot of artists, a lot of people might have hated on a Master P or a Cash Money back in the day, but anyone I knew that went to New Orleans, everyone in their neighborhoods knew them personally or was affected by them personally in some real way. So for us to just make that division is you know, again, making people two-dimensional. But as far as the far-reaching, you know, messages and that are powerful in the words and other, if I thought words were that, had that little power, I would probably not talk about the topics that I speak on. But I've seen internationally, you know, the power of hip-hop as a message in a bottle in a lot of ways. You know, you mentioned earlier hip-hop in the Gaza Strip, hip-hop in Palestine. There's some amazing artists there that have inspired me to keep doing what I'm doing in speaking truth to the situation there that media in all other forms doesn't represent, but hip-hop as a form of media does. And at the same time, hip-hop internationally has been influenced by the commercialization, where my homegirl who's doing a documentary on Palestinian hip-hop, she was telling me she spoke to one of the rappers in Gaza, and, you know, he's speaking out on, you know, getting houses in his neighborhood demolished and Apaches overhead. But at the same time, when she asked him what she should bring back for her next trip, he asked for some bling. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the influence of the of. At the same time that it's one, it's the other, and I think it's important for us to not make that a binary thing, but instead to understand how we've all internalized, you know, the materialism in our culture, period. And of course, since hip-hop has been co-opted into that, that's become a part of it, and it's always been a part of it. You know what I'm saying? The first hip-hop song to ever go platinum was The Message. The second song to ever do that was, you know, Sugar Hill Gang talking about, you know, hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, and you know, just having a good time but making money, whatnot. So those two songs are the first two songs to ever blow up. That was always existing. It's not a thing. We're back in the day, the golden age of hip-hop. You know, I'm saying, to me, it's always been a part. Both of those sides are a balance, and to me, neither one is, there's no positive, negative. They're all represented, and we're not one-dimensional people. That's it.
I really want to be respectful of the conference organizers and try to wrap up here. So if we can roll down the line, though, did you, final comment? The commercialization of hip-hop is really important, so, but try to keep it short.
No, I'm just messing. I love music. There's many sides of everything. Man. I will listen to some Lil Jon and Wild Fuck Out. Yeah, I will, and at the same time, you know, at the same time, I can hug my mama and kiss my mama. You know what I mean? You have to be able to. People are multidimensional. On to add to what you said, one of the biggest comments that came out of being in Brazil was the hip hop, and the comment was made that there's a lot of conscious Brazilian music because there are a lot of conscious Brazilian people. There's a lot of hurt and pain and stuff that never has been dealt with, and violence that exists in this country. So that's what comes out in the music. And a lot of times we don't get a chance to access Invincible because, one, we're so used to fast food. we're so used to fast food culture that we only take what's wrapped up and put in front of us, and we won't take time to go cook. So sometimes you got to go search and look for something. And come to the show tonight.
They're going to be performing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man, real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you seem to be talking about two different things, right? Hip-hop seems to be very dynamic, right? Hip-hop incorporates a lot, you're saying, the five elements. It seems like the problem has to do more with how you frame it, to do what you need to do. You're talking about politics and how do you sustain this whole generation. You talk about it as a generation versus Invincible's talking about it as something instantaneous, happens in a moment where people come together and rap. What I found that, as I write about hip-hop culture, explain this to people, as soon as I say something about hip-hop culture or community, like you said, they think it's automatically hip-hop music. And so, or rap music. So what I would like to hear is your own definition at some point. You don't have to do it here because you're out of time. But how would you define hip-hop music? Because it seems the way we define it is going to help us figure out how to go ahead and
That's like the hardest question.
I'll just say that is a really hard question, and part of the reason that I didn't put it in like the context of this is that hip-hop organizing is around this concept, which is sort of a question mark. You know, people define it in a lot of different ways, and that's why we wanted to try to bring that up. Go ahead.
Oh, about the commercialization. Okay, as with this, I kind of disagree too. I'm kind of anti-commercialization of anything. So, I mean, but I haven't, this is like new to me thinking about this
binary. But my thoughts right now are kind of anti-commercialization.
The comments that I made before about 50 Cent and Little John, it's not really to diss them because I like some of their music and will freely admit that. But the problem is that if that's all you get and that's all you see, that's where the problem comes in. And that's where, you know, these companies dump all their money into, and that's what they promote. And what I'm saying is that we just need more voices so that those, when you hear 50 Cent and all those other guys, it just won't even affect you so much because you're exposed to other things. So you already know that's not hip-hop. The problem is that people look at that 50, and they say, that's hip-hop. And that's the problem that we have. And it affects us as organizers because when people see that, they think that that's us too. So we really have to take control of hip-hop, which we've lost control of a long time ago. And that's going to be the key to bringing that back around.
Cool. I want to just real quick, a specific way that we're combating commercialization. And I agree. I like to listen to 50 Cent and Lil Jon sometimes too. But I also love Quali and everything in the middle. But to say one thing we're doing specifically on that is, once again, the same kind of thing as like with battling misogyny and like just directly questioning, we talk about it. So like, for real, like especially if you're a production assistant and you're listening to 5 different hour sessions of young people coming in and talking about the same thing over and over and over again, clearly there's an issue. And especially because we live in a very violent community, it's an issue that needs to be talked about. But at some point, it just gets kind of old, especially like the particular elements that are really just matching the stuff that you're hearing on the radio and then you're seeing on the TV consistently. So we talk about it. Like, that's where we think. We think this is a space for dialogue that we've created, and we want to use it for that. So that's how we combat it, is by talking about it. I just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for coming.
Can I make one last announcement?
Yes.
The number one most important way you can combat the commercialization and co-optation of hip-hop,
it's
to support independent work. And we have, every person on this panel has something in the packet. Wait, we need to get something from you. You got anything to represent your people?
I didn't bring anything.
You ain't got anything?
I have things to sell. I just didn't.
We have a package, and it includes the Detroit Summer CD, a Yo Movement t-shirt, right? And a mixtape from the 3rd annual celebration of Twin Cities Hip Hop, that's right. And for a low price of only $4, you will also get the Justice Now, the We That Sets Us Free CD, as well as Darren's book, Tell the People What They're Gonna Get in
Revolution
the
of the Mentally Dead.
That's what's up. So for 40 bones only, you will get all of those things representing all of our cities, all of our work. And you will, once again, if we're talking about voting, vote for independent shit with your money.
Cool.
How about that?
Yeah. Thanks everybody for
coming. Thanks everybody.
And come to the show tonight, the after party after bowling. All right.
After bowling.
I have one more announcement. If anyone knows young people who might be interested in Art in Action, we still have a couple slots, and I have postcards here.
I'm living with his son.
Everything, yeah. Yeah, we're still locking that in. Because there's so many conventions going on, we're trying to get dates. So. Yeah.
You got any more Fest CDs? Hey, Larry, you got any more Fest CDs?
The independent bookstores in Chicago.
Is that a CD?
Yeah. Or, you know, if you don't, I mean, we got the packages here, but if you just want the book, I got more books, too.
That's our website.
I can do the book for like $15 if you want to do that. Yeah. All right. Good seeing you. Take care. I do.
Come by.
You tell them I said what's up.
I always try to clown.
Really designed to combat, like a newspaper, a lot of people.
the point of it is to, like, take all the news that you hear all the time, like, for that two-week period, and
yes,
give it to you like in the real story. So I'm really giving you a take on what exactly that is. That's really designed to be the type of message. Now, as far as the national convention goes, I haven't dealt with anybody on the national level. I've just been involved in the local organizing club. And the guy that I work with, who was actually supposed to be here, but couldn't be here, he's the one that's in contact. And has been So, I haven't had any real dealings with those people yet, but sure, I will pretty soon because, like I said, we're taking together things that I'm saying.
No, you guys are
what, for the Battleground, Minnesota?
Yeah.
I've seen it. No, I haven't seen it. I know it's okay. A show.
Okay,
thank you.
I appreciate it.
I hope,
well, I think everybody got mad at me, but I think I wasn't getting my point across about the gay issue, only because it's just not an issue for me. When I say it's not an issue for me, what I mean is that I really support it. I'm not against it. You know what I mean? I don't have any problem with it. Well, to me, their issues and our issues are all the same issues. So, I gotta figure out how to say that. Yeah, and that's gonna change every convention. So every time people come back with their issues in the convention from the grassroots, it could be a whole new set of issues.